From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Alaska pollock A season opened last Saturday. That's when the pollock trawlers set out into the Bering Sea to scoop up the whitefish that keeps Unalaska's lights on. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council set the 2024 total allowable catch, or TAC, for pollock in the Bering Sea at 1.3 million metric tons, keeping consistent with last year. Wesley Loy, editor for Pacific Fishing Magazine, chatted with KUCB's Theo Greenlee to discuss what the 2024 TAC means for the pollock industry and what to expect during this year's A season.
Could you just walk us through, the council and what they decided on?
The council this year settled for pollock in the Bering Sea on the same exact figure that they set for this past year. So it's 1.3 million metric tons. That's the same volume, the same quota that we had last year. And what is a metric ton? Well, that's a little bit bigger than a regular ton. A regular ton is 2,000 pounds. Metric ton is 2,205 pounds. But regardless, the quota for pollock in the Bering Sea is, as most years, it is enormous. We're talking enough fish to fill ships, to load trains, to fill many, many trucks. It's an enormous catch, one of the world's largest catches of fish. And, this past season's catch was enormous, and this year's catch will be enormous. The pollock stock is in a really good, healthy condition. So, it'll be another big catch, that's for sure.
Well, that's interesting. You talk about it being, really healthy stock, and NOAA touts pollock as being a model of sustainability and ecosystem management. Meanwhile, there's so many dire fisheries out here in the region. I'm wondering if at the council meeting was there talk about why the abundance is doing so well?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I don't know if anyone is certain on why it is that some fish stocks in Alaska seem to be booming. And oddly enough, other types of fish that swim the same ocean are in more of a bust cycle. I mean, you see that on the salmon side right now. You see some salmon stocks like Bristol Bay, they're just going gangbusters. It's crazy how abundant and healthy the some salmon runs seem to be, and others are just flat on their knees. They're in terrible condition, and there's in some areas of the state, it's just a crisis going on. When it comes to pollock, which is a very different fish from salmon, the pollock stock appears to be extremely healthy. Whatever the sea conditions are that favor pollock across the Bering Sea, there must be very favorable, because the pollock stock, actually, from a biological standpoint, the scientists say it could support a much bigger commercial harvest than we're going to see already. As a matter of fact, the biological catch limit could be close to double. So, exactly what the factors are behind that. Does it have something to do with climate change? Maybe some of the scientists have that figured out. I'm not sure if they do. I certainly don't have it figured out. But that's the situation.
I don't remember the phrase. Maximum sustainable yield. I mean, how does that play in?
Yeah. You know, there's different measures for different thresholds, I guess, or limits, ceilings, whatever you want to call it, that you have when you look at the pollock stock. You have different terminology. You have an overfishing level. You have an acceptable biological catch level. You have a total allowable catch level. That's the quota, right? For this coming year, the scientists have found that, you know, the acceptable biological catch for pollock in the Bering Sea is something like 2.3 million metric tons. But the catch limit will be much smaller than that. It'll be only 1.3 million, and I say only, 1.3 million metric tons. That's enormous. Biologically speaking, the quota for pollock could be much larger than it's going to be. Why is that? Well, yeah, the regulators have to sort of, they're really required to allow these fisheries. You know, there's a surplus of fish out there. There's the stocks are healthy enough to bear a commercial harvest. But in the Bering Sea, there is an overarching conservation principle at play. And that's called the 2 million metric ton limit or cap. That means not only pollock, but all the other species of fish that are caught commercially in the Bering Sea. When you set the catch limit for each of those species, the total should not exceed 2 million metric tons. Why is that? That is it's just a policy, a principle that says, as a conservation measure, we're not going to catch any more fish.
How are the different interested parties reacting to this tack?
Well, this year, to me, this year was kind of unremarkable, if you ask me. You'll always see people turn up at the council who have an objective when it comes to where to set the catch limit for pollock. I mean, there's some people who feel that there shouldn't be any pollock fishery at all. People feel this level of removal of fish from the Bering Sea ecosystem is bad. It's bad because it involves the bycatch or the incidental catch of salmon that might otherwise grow up and reach rivers in western Alaska where there's a salmon crisis going on. Some conservationists feel that removing so much pollock from the ocean is bad for marine mammals, or that possibly we need to do a lot more work studying the impacts of climate change before we allow such large fisheries. You'll always see people turn up at the council with these kinds of concerns, but the council feels other pressure. I mean, it's sort of obligated to set a catch limit. If there are industry players there who want to catch the fish and there's no biological reason why not, then yeah, a big quota will be set every year, and a big quota was set this year for this coming season. We've had bigger catch limits than this one in years past. I look back at recent total allowable catches of pollock in the Bering Sea the last few years. This year, this coming year, it will be 1.3 million metric tons. Last year, it was the same amount. The year before that, it was 1.1. The year before that, it was about 1.4. And the year before that, that was the year 2020, the big COVID year, it was 1.4. And so this quota that we're going to have for this coming season is kind of unremarkable. Kind of in the middle. It's a big quota. There were some people who wanted a slightly larger quota this coming year than the 1.3. And there was quite an argument over whether the quota should be a bit bigger because there were certain industry players who wanted it that way. Other people did not think it was wise to add any more to the quota because of the possible impacts to salmon bycatch. You know, if you catch more pollock, you might end up having greater salmon bycatch or bycatch of other species. But it's 1.3 million metric tons, good strong quota, and that's what it's going to be.
All right. Wesley, I appreciate it.
Sweet. All right, Theo. Well, hey, till next time. We'll see you then.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
That was KUCB's Theo Greenlee chatting with Pacific Fishing Magazine editor Wesley Loy.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The southeast section of Kodiak's Tanner Crab Fishery closed on 6 p.m. Monday, January 22nd. Marking the end of this year's commercial fishing season. Nearly 3.5 million pounds of Tanner crabs were caught in the Kodiak District and along the Alaska Peninsula about a week after the 2024 fishery opened. That is down from last year's harvest of over 7 million pounds. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Nat Nichols is the area manager for commercial groundfish and shellfish fisheries in the Kodiak area. He says this year's Tanner crab season lasted just a bit longer than average.
Well, there was certainly a factor this year, more so than last year. We definitely saw a decrease in effort on a few days due to weather. So, yeah, I would say that it's fair to say that it extended the season, not by a lot, but maybe by a day or so.
Last year's Tanner crab season lasted about a week as well, although the crab fleet started 2 weeks late after standing down in protest of low prices from local processors. According to Nichols, 135 boats registered to fish for Tanner crabs this season, though not every boat ended up participating. Fishers used technology such as satellite internet, inReach devices, and WhatsApp messaging platforms to stay in touch with Fish and Game on a daily basis while crabbing.
It takes some effort. We have a number of staff that come in and take reports, but yeah, lots of texting. So we've had excellent reporting from the fleet. This year we had several days where we had 100%, so we were talking to every single boat.
And the season was not without its casualties. The fishing vessel Alaska Rose capsized rounding Cape Chiniac while returning to port. All four crew members were rescued, and the Alaska Rose is presumed to have sunk. Thanks to KMXT's Davis Hovey for that reporting.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.